Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from the book of Leviticus, chapter 19. If you'd like to join in your own Bible or in a pew Bible, Leviticus 19, beginning with verse 17. And before we read, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. To you, O Lord, we lift up our hearts. To you, we offer our prayer and praise, our worship and thanksgiving, even our very lives. Make your ways known to us. Show us the path on which we should walk. Lead us in your truth and teach us. For you alone are the God who saves, the God in whom we trust, and the one on whom we wait. Through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Leviticus 19, beginning with verse 17. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our New Testament reading comes from Galatians 5 as we continue our study of the book of Galatians. Galatians 5, beginning with verse 1. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace, for through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith, working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, and the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if I, brother, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, Paul begins this section of the letter reminding the Galatians and reminding you of the gospel, of the good news of Christianity. Look again at just the first few words of our passage. For freedom, Christ has set us free. You are free. Christ has set you free. In Jesus, you are no longer in bondage. In Jesus, you are no longer in chains. In Jesus, you are no longer a slave. You're free. This is the theme of the book of Galatians, a theme that we have observed week after week after week in our study of this letter. But we have to be careful with the word freedom. We have to be careful to define the word freedom. And here's why. It's easy to impose our definition of freedom, our understanding of freedom, our preconceived notions of freedom on Paul. In doing so, we could potentially misunderstand. misinterpret, misapprehend what Paul is saying and walk away with a mistaken message. A message that Paul never intended. A message that is not faithful to the scriptures. We can walk away with a mistaken message and then live it out. Because practice follows belief. Practice follows belief. In other words, the way that you live, the decisions that you make are informed by and rest upon what you believe. What you believe, the ideas and the ideals that you hold to form the basis of what you do day in and day out. That may not always happen consciously, but it happens. Now, for example, here's an example. If you believe that you should tell the truth no matter what, then you're going to make a different decision than if you believe you should always look good no matter what, right? Because sometimes telling the truth means you don't look good. And sometimes looking good means you don't tell the truth. Now freedom. Let's talk about freedom. Freedom in our culture is primarily understood as personal freedom. That's freedom in our culture. Meaning this, doing what you want, when you want, where you want, how you want, without anybody telling you no. Without anybody telling you you shouldn't do it. Without anybody telling you that it's wrong. Well, that's not what Paul's talking about. So whatever you walk away with today, don't walk away with that, all right? That's not the kind of freedom Paul's talking about. When Paul describes freedom, Paul describes Christian freedom, he describes it as a twofold movement. Twofold movement. In Jesus, you are free. You are free from, and you are free for. You're free from, and you're free for. Jesus Christ gives you freedom. He gives you freedom from. Through his death, through his crucifixion, you are free from. You are free from sin. You're free from the power of sin. You are free from your sin, the sin of your heart, the sins you commit, the sin that you struggle with, which is this, a failure to love. When you fail to love, that is sin, because that's God's will for your life. That's God's design for your life. That's God's desire for your life, that you live in love, loving God and loving your neighbor. And that's the law. That's God's law, living in love. And when you don't live in love, then you sin, and that separates you from God, and that results in bondage. Bondage. But Jesus Christ has come to break your bonds. And he's come to offer you forgiveness. Jesus Christ frees you from. Now, through his resurrection, through his rising from the dead, Jesus Christ frees you from death. He frees you from the power of death. He frees you from your death. Because that's what the end of sin is. That's what the result of sin is, death. Death is not what God intended for creation. Death is not what God intended for you, for your life. Death came through sin. Death resulted from sin. And since everybody sins, death comes for everybody. Death comes for the mighty and for the humble. Death comes for the famous and the unknown, rich and poor, black and white, Democrat and Republican, educated and uneducated, young and old. Death is the great equalizer. The great equalizer. It's a power that we try to ignore. It's a power that we try to push to the side. It's a power that we try with all our might to forget about. It's a power that we even try to institutionalize. But it's always there, lurking in our thoughts, lurking in our fears, creeping in our quiet moments, influencing decisions that we make every day, choices that we make every day, attitudes that we hold every day. Now, here's just a small example of that, of the influence of the power of death on us every day. So when I was 10 years old, my 4-year-old brother was killed. He was struck by a car, and he was killed. And I continue to have a deep-seated fear about crossing streets, about walking in roads, about being near roads, but not for me, for everybody around me. I continue to have that. And this has certainly influenced my attitude and my decisions with my own children about being in roads and near roads and crossing streets and riding bikes in streets and all that, especially when they were younger. But even now, the battle's there. I went for a walk yesterday, and my 3 little girls were riding bikes, and the whole time there's this battle in my heart. But the fear is there, a fear caused by the power of death. We are in slavery to its power, but Jesus Christ has come to break those chains. He's come to break them. And he's come to give you the promise of resurrected life, of the promise of life after death, eternal life. So Christ has set you free. He set you free from sin and free from death, simply to be received by faith. It's yours through faith. Faith in Jesus. And Paul says this, Paul says, stand firm in that freedom. Stand firm in that freedom. He's saying, don't move, don't stray, don't leave, don't go back to slavery, don't go back to bondage, don't go back to chains. Stand firm. But that's exactly what the Galatians were doing. They were turning to a distorted gospel. They were turning to a different gospel where they believed that in order to be a Christian, in order to follow Jesus, in order to be right with God, you had to be circumcised. You had to receive the sign of the covenant that God gave to Abraham. You needed to believe, yes. You needed to have faith, yes. But you also needed something else, namely circumcision. Well, listen again to what Paul has to say about this. Look at verse 2 of our passage again. Paul says this, "Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law." Now, Paul says, if you accept circumcision, if you accept this cut in the flesh sign given to Abraham, then you are cut off from Christ, severed from Christ. Now, why is that? Because you are trying to be right with God. You are trying to be justified with God through something that you do. Something that you do, something in addition to what Jesus Christ has already done for you. And that, Paul says, is the law. What you do or don't do, that's the law. In other words, Paul is saying this, by accepting circumcision, you are saying that Jesus Christ is not enough. That he is not enough, that his death is not enough for you, that his resurrection is not enough, that something else is needed, something else that you can do is needed. And for the Galatians, that something else was circumcision. But it doesn't have to be circumcision. It can be anything. It can be anything in your life that you think you need to do or not do to be right with God, to be right before God. It can be anything. It can be good things. It can be praying 3 times a day, reading your Bible twice a day, going to church 3 times a month, giving 15% to the church, serving at Stew Pot every other month, telling one person a day about Jesus Christ, or anything else that you have to do to be right with God or right before God. In doing so, Paul says, you've placed yourself under the law. And he says, that's a different gospel, a distorted gospel. And Paul says, if you place yourself there, then you are severed from Christ. And outside of Christ, you're in bondage, you're in slavery, you're in chains. In Jesus and in Jesus alone, you're free. He is enough. He is sufficient. Paul says, stand firm in him and stand firm in the freedom that he gives. Now, Paul also has some harsh words for those who were teaching circumcision, preaching circumcision in Galatia. His graphic comment encouraging them to go beyond circumcision sounds a bit crude, but remember, Paul knew these churches, Paul loved these churches, and he knew what was at stake. The gospel was at stake, freedom in Jesus was at stake, and he knew it was going to spread. Just like leaven, like yeast in bread, this false belief would grow and grow and grow, and Paul wanted to cut it off. For freedom, Christ has set us free. In Jesus Christ, you are free from. You're free from sin, you're free from death, and in Jesus, you are free for. Paul says you are free for freedom, to live in freedom. Which is not free to do what you want, when you want, how you want, where you want. But it's free in Jesus. Free to live for Jesus, which means this, free to serve. Free to serve. Look at verse 13 again. Verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Paul says, don't use your freedom for you. Don't use your freedom for you. Don't use your freedom selfishly. In fact, that's not even freedom. It's another type of bondage. Self-focused, self-centered, self-indulgent freedom is not true freedom. It's another bondage. True freedom, freedom in Jesus, is freedom for others. Freedom for others. Paul's saying, use your freedom selfishly. Use your freedom selflessly. Selflessly. So let's go back to what we were saying before. So that you can pray three times a day or more. You can come to church three times a month, come more. You can give 15% or more. You can serve at Stew Pot every other month. You can tell one person a day about Jesus. You can hold babies in the nursery. You can listen to somebody who's struggling. You can use a paintbrush with Habitat or whatever else that you can think of to serve. But you do so not that you can be right with God, not that you can be right before God, not in addition to what Jesus has done for you, but you do it out of love for your Savior. Out of love for the one who's given you freedom. You do it in freedom for Jesus. You do it in freedom for others. Your neighbor. Our Old Testament reading was from the book of Leviticus. And in that section, it's a series of laws about how to treat those around you, how to treat the poor, how to treat the deaf, how to treat laborers. And it ends with these words, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Along with loving God, Jesus says, this summarizes the law. That's what Paul says too. You're not to hate those around you. You're not to mistreat those around you. You're not to ignore those around you. You're not even just to tolerate those around you. You're to love those around you. As yourself, which means this, you are to serve them. You're to put them first. You're to put their needs, their wants, their desires ahead of your own. That's how we're to be, and that's how we're to be in the church. Serving one another, putting one another first, bearing one another in love. Not comparing. Not comparing. We can't get into ranking our good works and our gifts. When we start doing that, Paul says in verse 15, then we start biting and devouring each other. We've got to use our freedom for one another, loving one another, serving one another. And it's got to start here. It's got to start within the body of Christ, where we're free, in Christ, free from and free for. And in that freedom, in living out that freedom, we can be a light to a world in darkness, to a world that thinks it's truly free, but it's really in chains, to a world that thinks we're the ones who are in bondage. But it's a world that needs to see true freedom and experience the true freedom that can only come through Jesus Christ. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in Jesus Christ, you have freed us. In Jesus Christ, we are free. And we freely come before you. We freely enter your presence as your children, your sons and daughters by faith. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray this day for your church, for your people here in this room and all around the world. Father, we pray that you would bless the work of this church, Covenant Presbyterian. May all that we do bring glory to your Son. May your kingdom increase through our ministries. Give us, Father, a fervent desire to grow in our knowledge and faith in you and of our service of you. Father, we also pray that you would bless our brothers and sisters around the world, especially where they are oppressed and persecuted and mistreated for following your Son, for claiming the name of Jesus. Protect your flock, Good Shepherd. We pray, Father, that you would bless missionaries and pastors around the world who declare freedom through your Son. Grant them fruit from their labors. Encourage and strengthen them by your Spirit. We pray this day especially for the work of Ron and Beth Mills. We thank you that we can join in supporting their ministry to international students, that we can play a small role in what they do. We pray that you would bless the work of their team in Colorado. Father, we pray this day for our nation, for our land. We pray that you would heal our divisions, that you would grant peace. We pray that those whom we have elected govern in wisdom. We pray that you would guide their decisions and guide their steps. Father, on this day, we especially thank you for those who have served and those who are serving in our nation's armed forces. We pray, Father, that you would protect those who protect us. Father, we also pray this day for the fatherless and the motherless. We pray this day for orphans, for those who wait adoption, for foster children. Grant loving homes for those who do not have them. Lord God, we also lift up those in our midst and those on our hearts who need your healing hand, who need your strength, who need your peace. We lift up to you Margaret Ingram, Linda Lambeth, Nancy Steele, Lindy Sullenberger, and Holly McGee. Gracious God, we also lift before you this day our thanksgivings, blessing you for all the good things in our lives, especially your Son Jesus, who gives us freedom. Help us to live in that freedom through service and love. We pray this in the name of your Son, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.